107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. New numbers out this morning on inflation. The Labor Department releasing the Consumer Price Index. ABC's Rebecca Jarvis takes a look.
In real terms, inflation is no longer surging. Typical family currently spending about $211 more a month versus a year ago. But it's when you look backwards to 2 years ago where you really see that difference. $605 more a month to 2 years ago. 3 years ago, you are still paying today about $1,000 more a month on the same goods and services.
The Senate this morning passing a $95 billion aid package for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. A small group of Republicans arguing that the U.S. should focus on its own problems before sending any money overseas. Having failed the first time to impeach Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, the House will again try today to get it done. Big snowstorm hitting the Northeast started as rain, but is now coming down as snow hard in New York City. Later, it'll move up through Boston. This is ABC News.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin lawmakers may advance a new proposal for legislative maps today. Majority Republicans could pass maps proposed by Governor Evers in order to preempt potentially less favorable maps that could be put in place by the liberal state Supreme Court. Advocates say it would take $53 billion to modernize the election system across the United States.
We've been working to try to get more consistent and predictable funding from Congress to help support local administrators to get the resources they need and help modernize the election infrastructure that's super outdated in most of the jurisdictions.
Sunwoo Oh is with the progressive nonprofit group Stand Up America. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For news from the Center, WRCE, I'm Jimmy Cuska. A woman charged with the death of an infant and neglecting other children at her in-home daycare reached a plea deal yesterday in Iowa County. 31-year-old Joanna Ford of Mineral Point pleaded guilty to 5 child neglect charges with a charge of reckless homicide dropped, according to online court records. Ford was charged after 4-month-old Wyatt Hamlin died in her care due to abusive head trauma last February. She'll be sentenced in April on 6 total felony charges. The State Department of Justice said a person died while in police custody in Lafayette County on Monday. The person was arrested after 1 a.m. in Schulzburg after law enforcement said they were called to investigate a person yelling and wandering in the road. The person resisted arrest, running from police. According to the release from the DOJ, the person became distressed and emergency medical services were called to take the person to the hospital, where the person then later died. Nobody else was hurt. 2 sheriff's deputies and a Darlington police officer were moved to administrative duty as part of standard policy while the incident is investigated.
Matt Nair on air.
Want to thank our previous guest, Bob Bonadour from the Milwaukee Planetarium. He's so knowledgeable and obviously loves what he does.
Yeah, because he gets to talk about space all the time. I'm not kidding you. I have watched videos about space and have started to cry. It's so flippin' beautiful to me.
Well, we found your birds.
Yes.
We have found your birds.
Space is my bird.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Bucks with another win at home. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks with a 112-95 win over the Denver Nuggets. Giannis with 36 points to lead Milwaukee. The Bucks improving their defense. It's the first time this season they've held opponents to under 100 points in back-to-back games. Doc Rivers.
Just steady progress, believing in your D, trusting it, clarifying it. Don Shula, you know, if you ever read his book, he always talked about the fastest player is the one that doesn't have to think. And the more we can get our guys to know exactly what we're doing, they can play at full speed. Simplify so we can play with fire.
Baseball pitchers and catchers report tomorrow. The Brewers' new manager, Pat Murphy, talked about a roster without pitchers like Corbin Burns or Brandon Woodruff.
We're kidding ourselves to think that this thing's going to be decided on paper because we lost Burns and Woodruff. And, you know, it's getting the guys to understand that, you know, if you want to make it happen, it starts with you.
That's the Brewers' new manager, Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Partly cloudy today. We'll get to around 36 for a high this afternoon. The wind, not terribly strong out of the northwest at 5 to 10. Tonight, partly cloudy, 24. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 45 with some light rain and light snow tomorrow night into Thursday morning. Won't amount to much. Clearing on Thursday, cooler, high of 36. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 25.
Matt Nair on air.
I heard that new promo featuring Pearl and Sandy Williams talking about being influencers. Now I cannot get the vision out of my head of those two doing TikToks.
I think we should do a series of videos of Calvin teaching them how to be influencers, like teaching them how to dance.
I'm not going to say I don't dance, but I'm not a good dancer, so I don't know.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on News from the Center, WRCE, and the Civic Media app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. From Hillsboro to Highland, your choice for news, talk, and sports is News from the Center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday is when my co-host Sandy is. Before we go to our next topic, which we've got quite a few that we're going to cover in this next hour, David from Mequon wants to revisit a conversation we had before. David, go ahead quickly.
Thank you, Earl. I just want to read a quick line in the Declaration itself. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That sentence is a direct appeal to God. Well, and this notion that there's nothing about separation of church and state, that's not in the Constitution.
Hey, David, let me say this to you.
Well,
whatever that Constitution said, it also said that people of color were 3/5 of a human being. So don't tell me about
That was the Declaration of Independence, which isn't a legal document of in terms of founding, and the Constitution, the First Amendment clearly does talk about the separation of church and state, and is part of the Constitution. And Creator is in your mind a reference to God, in the eyes of a Muslim, it would be a reference to Allah, which is also God.
Yes,
and maybe the same God. It's all from the same Abrahamic
family
line, and also the Hindus have creators in mind as well.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't know, Dave, but in my mind, it seems like a dangerous path for the country to get on, to get focused on whether or not we are a Christian nation, and then to figure out what does that mean? Well, what in your mind, Dave, now that you've said that you think that we are I think from our conversations, I understand you might be Jewish. Is the United States a Christian nation, and what would that mean? What is the implication of that?
Well, it's actually they consider it a Judeo-Christian nation.
Well, that's
if you look at again with the founding fathers, they were extremely religious. They created the Constitution based on their ideas of what would be into the Constitution, and it does constitute a lot of things that are religious of Judeo-Christian values.
Well,
they
had slaves. So don't tell me how religious they were.
And I'm not sure Benjamin Franklin actually was a religious man.
Yeah, I think
that the purport of exporting from the notion that the people who wrote the Constitution were Judeo-Christians and that they used Judeo-Christian values doesn't necessarily suggest that the country is therefore regulated by and under the jurisdiction of Judeo-Christian values. It's a value-driven country, presumably.
So here's what I would ask Dave and Sandy. If for Muslims who are here and who are American citizens, that's an insult when you make statements like that. For Hindus who are here and are American citizens, and you say to them that, you know, it's a Judeo-Christian nation, that doesn't include them.
Well, let me just ask it, because what I was trying to do is ask David, what does it then mean if we say we are a Judeo-Christian nation? What is the implication of that? Well, how does that relate then to other things?
Then you're actually changing the story of the United States founding. That's what you're doing.
Well, no, I'm not worried about founding. I'm asking about today. In the principles of operation of the country today, what does your concept about the founding have to do with how we should be operating our government today, or how people should view the nation in which they live today?
Well, again, I look at it from the standpoint that if you look at the way the country was founded, and what it was set up to be.
Well, what does that mean?
And yes, it has expanded. I agree with that. And I think we are inclusive. We are the most inclusive country in the world. And if you look at that, I mean, I do look at it that way. We have moved away, obviously, from the roots, but our roots are our roots. And what I'm saying is, I guess, you know, when we want to erase the, you know, what the country was originally founded for, that's where I have the problem with.
Well, how is it being erased, Dave? But this is how I'm trying to use this moral empathy. I'm trying to understand what's going on in the minds of people who want to become focused on this notion of the United States being a Judeo-Christian country. And what does that mean today for the operation of the country?
Well, I guess again,
it means division.
If you look at, we have a constitution for a reason. We have certain things in there, and we're supposed to, obviously, you know, it was created for us as a people to give us a set of laws to follow and to do what have you. And at the end of the day, I think that is, you know, that's a part of our history.
Okay.
That is a part of our
founding. Hey, Dave, slavery was a part of our history as well. So, you know, you're talking division. And the last thing our nation needs is more division. And what the nation needs is to get beyond rhetoric that states, you know, this is, you know, a Judeo-Christian nation. And so, therefore, you know, Judeo-Christians somehow have supreme power over others who aren't that.
Well, let me ask a question. If we're a Judeo-Christian country, should that have an impact on our immigration policy?
That has nothing to do with immigration or with other religions.
Okay, well, then what does it have to
do with it?
What does it have to do with then?
Founding of the country, we should not be erasing what the country was originally founded on. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, I don't think people. Okay, all right, all right. Well, why? But what in erasure? I how is it being? I mean, are we taking down statues, or what are we doing that in your mind is erasing the Judeo-Christian basis of the, you know, which was the culture of the people who founded the country?
They actually are talking about removing George Washington, John Adams, and people of that nature right now as we speak.
Hey, Dave.
Well, I think didn't that have to do with slavery, that discussion?
No, it was dealing with the Confederates. Confederates are the ones that they're removing right now.
So, Dave, let me say this, and then we're going to move on. You know, when we have conversations like this, and we talk about, you know, Christian values. Number one, a Christian is one who emulates Christ and who who crystallizes oneself with Christ and what Christ stood for. And so when you, and that's the definition of a Christian. So if you're not following the path that Christ led, by definition, you are not a Christian. So when you start bringing all these other things in, that just creates all the confusion that we're dealing with in the world now. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Stephen from Green Bay. Stephen, go ahead.
Hey, guys. So this notion that God is what our country was founded on just absolutely drives me bonkers. I don't think our founding fathers were sitting in a room together and being like, you know what? If you're not Christian, you're not in. Get out. It's just absolutely ridiculous. And as far as it's saying, you know, your creator, that could be different depending on what you believe or who you believe your creator is. It doesn't necessarily mean creator. Oh, that's automatically God. No, that's not what it means. That's not what it means at all. And it's a stubborn way of thinking. And it's the wrong way to think, you know, so.
All right, Stephen, thank you very much for the call.
Well, I just think the important question to ask about that concept and that discussion is, why is it important? How does it end up translating into something that ought to be happening today that isn't happening or what it is we're doing? Because to me, it has a lot of dog whistle quality to it. And to worry about whether it's being erased or not, I don't know. Just it fosters a conversation about it. And the conversation, when we talk about a country being Judeo-Christian, to me, that has a dog whistle quality.
You know, Sandy, it leads to division. Let's go to Lynn from Oconomowoc. Good morning to you, Lynn. You say what?
Good morning, Earl and Sandy. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to mention that George Washington was a Mason, and as many of the other founding fathers were. And it's my understanding that Catholics who are Christian either are not allowed or do not become Masons or join that group. And it is literally a dying organization. Many of the Masonic lodges have closed or changed. But so there we're again, we're taking Christians, and then it becomes Protestants versus Catholics.
Right.
So it's very divisional. And that's my comment.
Lynn, you're absolutely right. And again, it fosters division. And so it's part of, Sandy, what we're talking about with the MAGA evangelicals who see this thing through that prism.
Well, again, though, my theme is this sort of empathy. I guess I prefer not to use generic terms about people because I think everyone is individual. And I think one of the problems we've got in our country is we've now become labeled, and we're labelers, and we are labeled. And my question is just a searching one, which is, if you think that, why do you think that, and why is that important?
844-967-2789 is the number.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Wisconsin voters, listen up for important information about a recent decision from the Wisconsin Supreme Court. The court has ruled that Wisconsin's current state legislative maps are unconstitutional. While Wisconsin is closely divided between Democrats, Republicans, and Independents, these Republican-drawn maps have allowed them to keep big majorities in the state legislature, even when more people voted for the other party. Republicans have used these rigged maps to stay in power and serve their special interest friends while being unaccountable to Wisconsin voters, undermining progress on important issues that Wisconsin really cares about, like rising costs, gun violence, and abortion access. Now, the Wisconsin Supreme Court has ordered that new maps be drawn to protect our freedoms and make sure our voices are heard. Visit abetterwisconsin.org/fairmaps to tell the Wisconsin Supreme Court thank you for standing up for fair maps. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Many a tear has to fall, but it's all.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show, as always. You can join us at 844-967-2789. Calvin has handled all the music today. He's doing a good job. Let's go to Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. You say what?
Well, good morning to you. And once again, I just love listening to your radio. I am actually, it's really funny, I have taken up studying the Constitution and the Federalist Papers because I want the Federalist Papers were used to just to actually explain the Constitution. But you are absolutely right. In Section 2 of the Constitution, slaves are only considered three-fifths of a person because at that time, the people who actually were writing up the Constitution, there was a big argument because in the South, there were less white people living in the South than there was in the North. And if it was going to be based on population, the people in the South felt that they were going to be short-sheeted as far as
congressional
representatives.
Right.
And this is why they made and they would not allow, they excluded all indigenous people. It says Indian people, but they were, it's indigenous. So what I suggest these people who are so concerned with, and church was not supposed to be even a part of this, okay? And that comes back from why these people came to this country in the first place. So I think that people, you got to get down, you got to read the Constitution. The Federalist Papers explain this. Alexander Hamilton, James Madison, and John Jay were extremely intelligent people, and they explained all these sections. So before we start making accusations or saying things, we should actually study what we are saying and make sure that what we're saying is the truth and not color it. I think that's what we have. We have people who are saying things that actually are not true, making people believe that they are true, but they're not. And I don't like the division in this country. I absolutely don't. But I think that places like here at radio is a good place for people to get an exchange.
Hey, Susan,
ideas.
Well said. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Andre from Seattle. Good morning to you, Andre. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Yes, I said it again. Thank you, you and Tammy, for accepting my call. I just want to say real quick, Earl, it was during the month of Ramadan, I was reading some Islamic literature versus Quranic literature. So if it's not in accordance with what the Quran says, then it's pretty much not acceptable because you can have, like this guy was saying, a white Christian society. Well, that doesn't sound too bad. I mean, you know what I'm saying? So having said that, if it's not in accordance with what the Quran says, because in the Quran it says, behold, mankind and womankind, I've created you from different nations, from different races, so you would know one another. So there's no separation, and that's a beautiful thing. Thanks a lot for accepting
Thank you
call.
Very much for the call. You know, this is why we're where we are now. Let's go to Tom from L.A. quickly, Tom.
Yeah, I just have a really, Sandy, I understand what it is that you're trying to say about the empathy, but it always seems to me that you have to have two parties that come to the table in good faith in order to have that empathy. And it seems like the liberals, the progressives come to the table more in terms of trying to understand the other person. And it seems to me that the conservatives are already stuck in their mindset, and there is no changing the way that we actually feel. And then they go and say, you know, bumper sticker things, and then we end up actually in concentration camps, you know, because of the fact that we didn't fight back against some of this ideology. The truth is, Jesus Christ was a Reformed Jew, is really what he was. He, Christianity came because he wanted people to, feed the hungry, the Beatitudes, Matthew 15. That's what Jesus Christ is about. But Jesus Christ does not belong in government. You know, he said, you know, what belongs to Caesar is unto Caesar, and what belongs to God is unto God. So I don't understand why it is that we get into this religious thing, because all it does is divide and conquer the people. And I'm really trying hard, like I said, to be able to understand the other side or understand them. But until we get money out of politics and until we get money out of this whole issue, it's very, very difficult to do this because the billionaire class has us fighting over each other, over CRT, and having us fighting over all these things, and we're not getting anything that brings we the people together.
Hey, Tom, we got you. Thank you very much for the call. You know, we're going to move on from this subject, Sandy, but it does go to show. These divisions that we have, and I don't know, I think it was Andre from Seattle who called, and, you know, we can, when we start saying one book is, you know, more acceptable than somebody else's religious book, I mean, based on what, right?
Well, you know all these,
people have a right to their beliefs.
Yeah, all these books were, at least in the hand that wrote the book was a human hand. Yes. All of these books are claimed to be prophesied from some divine source. I just think we're getting ourselves wound up in something that doesn't have much to do with regulating a country in 2024. And that what we ought to do is understand that we have an evolving society, we have evolving needs, we have evolving requirements, and we ought to obviously all exercise our value systems to come to grips with what it is we need to do today.
All right. And we're going to leave it there. When we, Americans, Sandy,
yeah,
and new cars, and Americans are being priced out of purchasing new cars. I don't know, maybe some of us, others of us, not so much. But the cost of a new car, the price of a new car, has certainly put many people, it's out of reach for them. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams, on the Earl Ingram Show.
It's all in the game, ain't gonna love all.
this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin lawmakers are scrambling to finish their work for the session. Assembly and Senate floor sessions today have long agendas. Republicans are proposing a $2 billion income tax cut similar to two proposals Governor Evers vetoed last year. This bill would make retirement income in Wisconsin tax-free. Life is getting better in Wisconsin state prisons, but Governor Evers admits there's room for improvement. Prisoners were locked down last spring due to staffing shortages. Evers recently toured Waupun and Green Bay after partially lifting the lockdowns in November.
I saw people outside of their cells doing some of the recreation things, some of the learning things that are going on there. I saw good things happening.
Evers on WISN-TV's Upfront. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For news from the Center, WRCE, I'm Jimmy Cuska. The Richland School District says its operational referendum on the ballot in April is primarily to keep 5.5 full-time staff positions over the next 4 years. The district said that if the referendum fails, it will have to cut the staff. If the referendum passes, the district will remove one administrative position. Dozens of districts around the state are seeking operational referendums this spring. Richland is also asking a second referendum question for facilities. The State Department of Justice said a person died while in police custody in Lafayette County on Monday. The person was arrested after 1 a.m. in Schulzburg after law enforcement said they were called to investigate a person yelling and wandering in the road. The person resisted arrest, running from police. According to the release from the DOJ, the person became distressed and emergency medical services were called to take the person to the hospital, where the person then later died. Nobody else was hurt. Two sheriff's deputies and a Darlington police officer were moved to administrative duty as part of standard policy while the incident is investigated.
It's 2024. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you live across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Jane Matt Nair.
And I'm Greg Bach.
Join us Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to noon as we break down the news and share some laughs along the way.
We're talking to politicians, we're talking to community leaders, and we're talking to anyone who has a story.
And we occasionally get a visit from an umbrella cockatoo. Join us for Matt Nair on Air Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to noon.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. The Super Bowl's gain is Hollywood's loss. Yahoo Entertainment reports the box office numbers for Super Bowl weekend are as low as they've been in decades. Combined ticket sales took in $40 million, the lowest it's been since the mid-1980s. The combination of the Super Bowl and Hollywood actors and writers strikes, which brought Hollywood production to a halt for months, are to blame. Well, there was a big celebrity wedding following the Super Bowl, but it had nothing to do with Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. Super Bowl halftime show headliner Usher reportedly tied the knot with his girlfriend, Jennifer Goykowicz, following his performance at the big game. Performing at the Super Bowl halftime show in front of billions and then getting married in Vegas? Not sure how you top that nighty night on the Strip. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, every night between 7 and 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Partly cloudy today. We'll get to around 36 for a high this afternoon. The wind not terribly strong out of the northwest at 5 to 10. Tonight, partly cloudy, 24. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 45 with some light rain and light snow tomorrow night into Thursday morning. Won't amount to much. Clearing on Thursday, cooler, high of 36. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 27.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Now I guess I'm just rooting for Kansas City because it's more about Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift for me.
It is at this point, and I want to congratulate Taylor Swift for making the Super Bowl in her rookie season. There's not a lot of rookies in the NFL who make it all the way to the big game, but she did, and you know if they win, she's getting a ring.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
I was born in a city that they call the Windy City. They call it the Windy City because of the Hulk. The Hulk, the almighty Hulk. Mr. Wind takes care of plenty of business. Now I'm winter time. The place that I lived in was on a street that happened to be one of the dead-end streets, where there was nothing to block the wind, the elements, nothing to buffer them for me, to keep them from knocking my bed down, yeah. I mean, really socking it to me. When the boiler was bust and the heat was gone, Jim, yeah, I had to get fully dressed before I could go to bed. Of course, I couldn't put on my goulash just because they had buckles on them, and my folks didn't play that. They said, don't you tear my bed clothes.
My goulash.
But I was fortunate. As soon as I was big enough to get a job and save enough money, get a ticket, catch anything, I split. I said, one day I'm going to return, and I'm going to straighten it all out. And I'm about ready to go back now. So I thought I'd tell you about it. They say this is a big rich town, but I live in the poorest.
Welcome back. That's the one and only Lou Rawls. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Hey, give us a call at that number if your car is newer than a 2022. 844-967-2789. If your car is 2 years old or newer, and the reason I'm asking the question, Sandy, is this article says only about 22% of Americans can afford a new car.
Well, you know, we talked about this before the show, and you were talking about the Escalade,
right,
and how expensive it's become. It's an electric vehicle, and obviously batteries add a lot to the cost of a car. But I looked up at the time, okay, have cars actually inflated in value faster than inflation since 1970? And it turns out that between 1970 and 2023, the cost of cars went up by 2.3% a year, which was lower than the average inflation rate over that whole period. So it isn't the cost of cars that's making them unaffordable. It's the income of the middle-class family and the budget of the middle-class family that's stressing them to the point where the cars that they used to be able to afford are no longer affordable.
You know, Sandy, the report analyzed one financial ability to finance what it determined was the average new car. According to Kelley Blue Book, the average price of a brand new car in the United States is around $48,000. So let's just try to chew on that for a moment. The average price of a new car is $48,000. And we're not talking, Sandy, an Escalade.
Right.
Or we're talking, hey, maybe a Kia, SUV, right?
Yep.
And the Kia is one of the more affordable models out.
Until it gets stolen.
Yeah.
Have they fixed that? I don't know. You know.
Yeah. They have.
They have. Huh?
They have. Yeah. But can you, you know, to go into a showroom and purchase a new vehicle is more than a notion.
Well, you see, this to me is why business people, particularly the automobile industry, ought to be worried about what we do about the middle class and the plight of the middle class with respect to their budget. Because, you know, it's the budget of the middle class that has been squeezed to the point where they can no longer afford the new car. You know, Henry Ford understood that he needed to pay his workers enough to be able to buy the Fords they were making in order to sell a whole bunch of Fords. And that was one of the reasons the pay scale of the auto workers was pretty generous.
So, Sandy, based on the rule, Greg McBride, chief financial analyst, has just corroborated what you said. For consumer financial services provider Bankrate told MarketWatch that one's take-home salary would have to be much higher than what the price on the sticker says. In his hypothetical purchase scenario of an average $48,000 car, one might trade in their older car and get lucky enough to knock the price down to about $40,000. If the hypothetical rates at around 7.5% for 5 years, they would be left with a monthly payment of $801.
Mm-hmm.
And if an $801 monthly payment were taken to take away 10% of your income, you would need to make at least $96,000 a year. In a comment on the state of the new car market, a former Ford executive said that you have to make over $100,000 a year just to afford a new car. So that's where we are. Now, if only 22% of the American people can afford to buy a new car, Sandy, who's buying them?
Well, that is 74 million people. So, you know, we got 335 million people or something like that. So it's in the neighborhood of 70 million people. I mean, new car sales have actually gone up recently. They've kind of surged after the pandemic and after the shortages. It's not clear how long that surge is going to continue. But, you know, this is all part of the stress of the middle class.
Let's go to Tim from Eau Claire. Hey, Tim, good morning to you. Thank you very much for the call. How old is your car?
Yeah, thank you for taking the call.
How old is your car?
And I have a 2017 and a 2020.
Okay.
But what I was going to say is, you know, the manufacturers, you're talking about the price of cars, you can't buy a reasonably priced car because they put every conceivable electronic device on these cars that raises the price. And most people don't, from my understanding, don't want it or don't need it. You know, you can get by with a lot of that stuff, but they're forcing it on you. It's like housing. You go to buy a house, you're looking at $300,000 to $500,000. They're just out of reach for everybody. That's kind of my comment.
You know, so would you consider yourself to be... you know, the average American with your income?
No, I'm retired. I'm 75, so I get Social Security and I've got some savings. The last car I bought was $35,000 in 20, and it's now up to about $42,000, $45,000 for the same car.
See, so Sandy, you know, that's part of it. You know, the retired people who have worked and, like Tim, have some savings. They can afford to buy new cars, but it's even a burden on them. But younger people who used to be the backbone of the new car market, they're locked out.
And the backbone of the housing market.
Right.
I mean, like I said, it really, people need to focus on not so much the price side of this thing, but the income side of it. It's the same as my problem with our focus on deficits nationally. We've got to focus on the revenue side as much as we focus on the cost side. And really, it's the revenue side that is hurting middle-class America because the budget they face is different. And so in order to accomplish, for instance, we move to onto the plate of the employee all the benefits that used to be paid by the employer. So their income, while it's gone up, hasn't gone up enough to absorb the cost of this this benefit differential.
So when does it start impacting, you know, the nation itself and the businesses themselves.
Well, if new cars don't sell, that'll have a huge impact on our national economy because automobiles are still the backbone of our economy.
Let's go to Mark from Chicago. Good morning to you, Mark. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. I want to let you know I bought a car, 2023. I bought a Toyota 4Runner, and I just saved up for it for a very long time. It's something I've been kind of wanting for a while, and went and bought it. And it was expensive, but I knew I look at it as kind of a 10 to 20 year kind of car. I don't plan on getting rid of it for a very, very long time, so I kind of rationalize it that way.
How old are you?
I'm 60.
See, again, the people who are making the purchases, Sandy, are clearly middle-aged. You can't, I mean, when I was 18 years old, 19 years old, I remember buying a brand-new Buick Riviera.
I know, you told me that. That's,
yeah.
That's over the top, Earl.
I know, but
you were one popular guy there for a while.
So, but I could afford
what
to...
What color was it?
It was...
Bronze?
Bronze.
Ooh, I can picture the car.
With a tan top.
Ooh.
Half top. But my point is, at 18 years old, it wasn't uncommon for young people to be able to go out and participate in the market, right?
Right.
But they're not younger people when we're talking about $48,000 for a new car.
Right. I mean, you were working at A. O. Smith at the time. You had a union job.
Yeah.
All
my friends had new cars at 18, 19 years old.
Like I said, people's budgets are different today and their income scale is different. Your income allowed your wife to stay at home and you were a middle class.
So Mark, you said your goal is to keep this car for 20 years. Come on, man.
That's what every new car buyer says.
Hey, Mark.
The last Toyota I had lasted that long. I had over 300,000 miles on it, so this could be my last car.
Yeah. Well, you aren't the kind of guy the dealer wants to see. Thank you very much for the call, man. Thank you for listening. I mean, clearly, Sandy, we're in a place where these things that we have grown accustomed to. I mean, you know, the furniture stores, the Steinhoffels and the quality furniture stores that, you know, they're not having what they used to have. People aren't coming in.
No, they're buying IKEA and assembling it at home.
It's just true.
Yeah.
Right? It's certainly a whole lot cheaper. 844-967-2789 is the number. How old is your vehicle? And can you afford to buy a brand new car that averages $48,000 per vehicle? You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Connecting the dots between the left and the right. Rational Revolution with Chris Elfein. Saturdays at 2 and Sundays at 1 on News from the Center, 107.7 FM and 1450 AM WRCE. And on the Civic Media app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Jam from Racine, welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Jam.
I voted for Reagan back in the day. I guess I've been supporting more of the Democratic Party for the last 40 years or so. But people gonna say, oh, man, she's a Republican. She's a Democrat. She's whatever. I'm a human being. All these other things aren't important. We need to unite against a bigger threat. I think the threat is us becoming a dictatorship. They want us to fail.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Hey, Sandy, what was your first car?
A Volvo station wagon, stick shift with no radio. It was, but I'll tell you this. I bought that car new when I graduated from law school, and it cost the same as my tuition to law school at the time, which was like $3,000.
Well, how old were you?
25.
Oh, you're 25.
I was going to school all that time. I couldn't afford a car.
So let's go to the phone lines. Enrico, hey, good morning to you, Enrico. How old is your car?
Oh, Earl, I had to call in. You laughed at the last at that last old boy, Earl. I'm a proud owner of a 1999 Chevy Blazer, still driving it. Still driving it.
So you haven't been, you know, no desire to buy a new one?
Well, I could buy a new one, Earl, but I won't. You know what? That's why, well, the main point I called in is, you know, I sit here today and I think, you know, Elon Musk I'm talking about.
Right, yeah.
He swung, Earl, and he missed. He missed the ball so much.
If he'd have followed
Mr. Ford's principles when he started out in that electric car market, and what I mean by that is that, you know, Mr. Ford started out and wanted to make a car for the everyday American working man. And that's really what he set out to do. And I can't believe Musk didn't follow that. He didn't follow that. You know, that if he'd have followed that, I'd venture to say we'd be worlds ahead right now on the electric car market.
Yeah, if he'd followed that, maybe he'd be the richest man in the world. Oh, wait a minute. He is the richest man in the world.
Yeah. Hey, Rico, I wish I had more time. Thank you very much for the call. Hey, I got to read this text from Greg. Only time I've ever driven was a stick shift in an empty true value hardware store parking lot. I've drove for about 30 feet. I felt burning rubber and I heard tires squeal. This is from PJ. I will never, ever, ever buy another GM product as long as I live. Let me go back to Greg. The cops tell me I should stop driving blind, though. I should open my eyes once in a while. Greg happens to be a blind guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So he's talking about the only time he's ever driven.
So he's not in the new car market.
No.
Although, you know, pretty soon with self-driving cars, it's going to catch up to him.
So. All right. Let's go to Eric from Tulsa. Eric, what year is your car?
Hello, Earl. Hello, Sandy. I have a 1987 Turbo Project car.
What
is that? It's a 1987 Toyota Supra Turbo.
Okay. It's a nice car.
It's currently missing its engine, but it's getting worked on.
All right, go ahead.
It spent most of its life under car covers.
All right.
We have a 1999 Toyota Avalon with 300,000 plus miles on it. And we have a 1998 GMC Sierra, which was bought from Atlanta. We needed a work truck, and you have to go south if you want to avoid all the salty trucks. And we have a 2015 Toyota Forester that we inherited from a family member passing.
So Toyota,
and that's the newest car we have. And I've only purchased one new car in my life, and that was at a time when my employer offered to pay half of my payment.
Wow,
yeah, that's pretty wild, man. I wish I had more time, Eric. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Bill from Oconomowoc. Good morning to you, Bill. What year is your car?
Well, first of all, I got two cars. One's 21, the other's a 19. But, Earl, I got to get a picture. If you can send me that picture of you in that Riviera, I will donate money to your charity. When you told me you had a Riviera at that age, boy, you must have been something, Earl. I wish.
Yeah, he was.
I really was something.
He was quite the urbane gentleman. I just Googled the car, found it. The man had taste.
It was, to be quite honest with you, it was a much more powerful car. It was a 455 cubic inch.
Yeah.
And really more than any 19-year-old should have ever had. Only through God's grace did I make it through. Because when you're that young, you're going to test.
You should have kept a journal that related solely to that. To that car and everything that happened because of that car.
Well, my wife can tell you about it because she was with me at that time.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well. Yeah. When I was driving that car, my wife, we were both, like, you know, quite young. But we hadn't, the point I was making is a 19-year-old snotty-nosed kid like me could afford to buy. And it wasn't just me. It was all of my peers.
Yeah. So that
we all had brand new cars.
So that says a lot about the income that you had at that time as much as it does about the price of the car, because the Buick Riviera at that time was an expensive car. And I'm confident if we inflated the price of that Riviera to today, it would be more than $48,000.
Oh, no. I think there's no question whatsoever, Sandy. But that goes to what you were saying.
Yeah.
It's the amount of money we were making. And at the root of all of the things that we constantly talk about is the fact that people and the money they make hasn't been able to keep up with inflation.
Right.
All right. So thank you, Sandy, as always. Thank you, Calvin. Thank all of you who made the show go. Up next, Jane Madnair and Greg Bosch, Madnair on Air. See you guys on tomorrow.
For the hopeless sinner. Have pity on those whose chances grow thinner, for there's no hiding place against the kingdom's throne. So people get ready, there's a train a-coming. You don't need no baggage, you just get on board. All you need is faith. You just thank the Lord.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is News from the Center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.